But praise the Lord. That gives you a little idea of what we're doing in Uganda and in our day-to-day. So the good thing is next year D3 is sending a missions team to Uganda. So we are wanting as many of you guys to come as possible. All right, so we want like 100. Can we get that? Are you guys awake? Are you guys awake? Yeah. Woo! How many would want to go to Uganda? All right. Come on. So what you guys can do is you just talk to your youth pastor and say, next year, we're going. Start saving your money now, and we'll see you in Uganda. And that would be a joy and an honor to have you do that. And our desire when you come is to get you engaged in that community, get you engaged in and doing the work of ministry so that you can come back here and continue to do the work of ministry. And we feel like it is an extension of local churches here sending. We get to minister in your local churches by you sending your people there. We challenge them, we encourage them, we send them back ready to get fired up to do kingdom ministry here. Amen? Amen. And you could either send them through D3, you could send them through your church. Here is a brochure that we've left for you guys. Did you guys all get it? Let me see it. Okay, good. You guys, I'm not going to let you get tired. So this right here is our website. I would love for you guys to go on that website, put your email address. There's a place where you can get our updates. And in there, we want to give you information. We want to encourage you in the faith. And so we try and send updates to encourage you in the faith. We have books that are going to come out. We have discipleship materials that are coming out. So you can be knowing all that's going on through that. So as we're ministering in Uganda, we're writing, doing different discipleship materials to aid not only Uganda, but the church here in America. Because we are serious about this Christian journey. We're serious about the war we're living here to fight the fight and finish the race. We are serious. And what we want to do is we want to encourage others who are serious, and that's what I even want to do this morning with you here. D3 is about discipleship. The mission we have is about discipleship. We want to see discipleship coming on every level, on every front, throughout all of the world, starting right here in Louisville, starting right here with you. The hope of D3, as we've said, is that you would go back with an urgency. You'd go back with a devotion to the gospel. Discipleship will always be a reminder about our calling and mission as Christ's soldiers. Well, I want to come, and I want to continue to encourage you as I began last time. As we learned last time, that we are all what? People of? Everybody, that we are all what? Faith. We are all people of?
Faith.
I want you to interact with me, all right? We are all people of?
Faith.
The writer of Hebrews reminded us who we were, and then he defined us. He said that he gave us two definitions. And then after giving us definitions, he illustrated all kinds of different lives or people who left it all for the sake of the cause. Because God told them they went. They were motivated by the word of God. They lived for heaven. They chose to suffer. They ran from sin. And my friends, they lived radical and exciting lives. My dear friends, the writer of Hebrews reminds us of Jacob and Joseph and of Moses, who left the things of Egypt. He chose ill treatment with the people of God. He talks about Abraham, who lived for a city which wasn't his own. And these are all the men and women who have gone before us. And we are joining in on their mission. Amen? We're joining in on their mission. And my friends, it's with great excitement that we all stand here at this hour, at this moment, hearing this message. And when we leave this D3, we run out those doors and we continue on in the mission that has gone on since the beginning of our Savior's existence, the beginning of our creation. We are joining in the band to proclaim the excellencies of Christ to this world. Amen? The writer of Hebrews goes from illustrating to exhorting. He begins to exhort us. And it's that exhortation that I want to take you to this morning. So open your Bibles to Hebrews 12:1, and we can look. Is that what you do, Kurt? I'm not cool like him, and I don't even know how to lead you guys to do that. But just open your Bibles to Hebrews 12:1 and 2. What is it, Kurt? Whoosh! Man, I tell you, God has so gifted you guys with preachers like Eric and Kurt who live it and proclaim it from the depths of their hearts. And what a privilege and joy to be a part of this whole event. My friend, this exhortation that is about to take place, it goes for the youth, it goes for the pastors, and it goes to every one of us who are living as missionaries on the field in our local communities. Let me read it. And then we'll jump into it together. It says these words, and this is God speaking. Let's give it reverence as he reads. Therefore, since we here is speaking the people there and the people of us sitting in this room right now. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's try that again. Since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight or encumbrance and every sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose hearts. Let's pray, and then we jump into this text together. Father God, my desire, you know, is to come alongside my fellow pilgrims in this room and allow your word to be penetrated into their hearts and be motivated as your servant long ago tried to motivate these people. We want to motivate them to run. We want to motivate them to fulfill their calling, which you have called them to. We ask for your assistance. Lord, as we're tired, every one of us, ask for your assistance that our minds would be sharp, our hearts would be engaged, and that you would do the work of encouraging us and exhorting us this morning. Father, we ask this for your name's sake. We pray. Amen. My dear friends, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to follow the outline of our writer here, and I'm going to give you two exhortations. Two what? Exhortations. And it's important you write down as we follow along and you talk along with me because we want to keep you engaged. But you have to understand the scenery which is being created here. The writer of Hebrews puts us in an auditorium where there is a race going on. There are people in the stands all around. And there's a starting line of which every single one of us comes to that starting line. You could feel the emotion. You could feel the urgency. You could feel the urgency. You could feel all the feelings of a race. And he puts us all in this race. Here we come out of underneath the stands, and we come right up here to the starting line. And that's what he does. He's putting all of us there. And he's giving us this incredible word. You see, there's stands. There's people in these stands all around. That's what he starts off by creating this picture. Look with me again at 12:1. Therefore, since we have what? We are surrounded by such, by since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. We are surrounded by what? A great cloud of witnesses. You say, what in the world, a great cloud of witnesses? What is this talking about? This is a Greek figure of speech. The idea is there's so many people around that are witnesses, that there's so many people, they're like a cloud. So my friends, in the stands around us, there are a cloud of... You say, Shannon, what do you mean by a cloud of witnesses? Are they just watching the race? Oh, friends, they're not people just watching a race. They're not just watching a race. Listen to me. They're people who have run the race. They've run the race. They're all there. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And they're all there. David and Solomon. They're all there. And they're all not just witnessing, looking on. They're all bearing witness to the fact that this race can be run and won. They're there. They're there for our encouragement. They're there to say, look, God will be faithful to carry you. Look, there's Job, who lived such a painful life, but God carried him. He's in the stands. He's watching on. There he is. There's the Apostle Paul. There's Peter. There's Daniel, who went to the lion's den. There he is. There's Noah and Moses and Joshua. There they all are. They're people who are bearing witness to you and to me that this race can be run and this race can be won. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They're bearing witness to the fact that we have a faithful God who will carry us to the end. Listen, friends. We're going to give you an exhortation, but I don't want you to ever forget it is God who carries you to the end. Oh, you're going to run with all your might, but all that energy, all that passion is generated, motivated, and sustained by the God of this universe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not alone. God will be there to help you. And this cloud is all there to bear witness. So in the midst of this race, you're there on the beginning line. There they all are in the stands. And he comes and he gives us two exhortations. Two glorious exhortations. And my friends, just like our brother Eric said this morning, before you engage, you must prepare. I believe he said advancement without preparation will lead to
failure.
Advancement without preparation will lead to
failure.
And he knew exactly what this writer was saying. Before you get engaged in the race, there is preparation that is needed. Look with me at the first exhortation. And you see it very clearly in here, the exhortation. He says, let us bop up, and then let us run. There are the two exhortations. Let us and let us. The first exhortation is let us what? Everybody, let us what? Do you see it in the text, or is this me preaching? Do you see it in the text? This is God's exhortation to every single believer in this room. Let us lay aside. Friends, you're coming out of beneath. You had just gotten prepared. You're coming out. And the idea of laying aside is the same imagery in these games where someone would come out in a robe with little tutus underneath. Some people say that in those days in the Greek games that they would run naked. We don't like thinking about that, so we'll just think of the tutu. All right? So they have this little garment. They wanted the least amount on as possible, but they come out in this robe. And what he's saying, look, buddy, before you start running, you better what? Lay aside. Lay aside. And he tells us to lay aside two things. What are they? Look at the text. He says, lay aside what two things?
Weights.
every encumbrance, every weight, and the sin which so easily entangles us. My friends, there are two things that we must lay aside. There's two things that what we must do in order to prepare for the race that is set before us. The first thing is every weight or every encumbrance. The idea is that if we're going to run this race well, friends, if you are going to run this race well, you must lay aside first every encumbrant. And I want you to understand something. The two options you're to lay aside, every what? Encumbrant and every, again, every encumbrant and every, now look, he didn't say every sin and every sin. He said every encumbrance and every, meaning that these things that are encumbrance are not necessarily what?
Sin.
So listen, I believe it's based on even the testimonies people gave after the message I gave last time. I believe there's many of you that want to run. You want to run. But the problem is you are either hindered based on your encumbrances or based on your sin. What is an encumbrance? An encumbrance is any excess weight. It is anything that will hinder you from running at maximum speed. For a Christian, it's anything that will interfere with one's commitment to living for Christ. Friends, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:4 that no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. These encumbrances are the affairs of everyday life. He doesn't encumber himself in the affairs of everyday life that he may please the one that has enlisted him. 1 Corinthians 9 says that we run in such a way as to win the prize. The mentality of a soldier is battle. The mentality of a soldier is focused. And my friends, let me tell you, the biggest problem we have among youth today is you are not serious. You aren't serious. Everything is play, 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 play while there's a battle going on. And we are calling you to come and become serious. We are coming to you adults to get serious, to tell your kids to get serious. I tell my kids all the time, we are not the, we as in my wife and I are not the missionaries. The family are missionaries. You must reach the kids as we reach the adults. Friends, youth, a qualification as an elder in the church is that you're sober-minded, serious-minded, focused. If you are a Christian, you are not just a Christian. You are a soldier in a battle, in a war. So wake up and get serious. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, and they live long periods of time without seeing their family, without communicating, because they want the soldier focused on the battle at hand. My friends, that's who we are to be. So therefore, these encumbrances are these things that weigh us down, these affairs of everyday life. A believer is serious about exalting God. We're serious about advancing the kingdom. See, Shannon, what are some of these hindrances? Can you help me out? And the reality is, I don't know what these hindrances are in your life. And remember, these things aren't necessarily sin. They're just things that, what? Slow us down. But they could be friends. Oh, friends are wonderful. But those friends may not be serious. They may not be focused, and they are slowing you what? They're slowing you what?
Down.
They may be music. You may love music. It may even be Christian music. But you spend all your time with your earphones on, completely engaged to the people around you. It could be television shows. It could be, oh my goodness, girlfriends or boyfriends. Listen, As a 15-year-old, you're not getting married tomorrow. So maybe that boyfriend is just slowing you down. Maybe that girlfriend is slowing you down. You need to release them that you can be focused. As a young person, you need to be engaged, right? The joy of young person in 1 Corinthians 7 is that they are not entangled with the affairs of life. It could be movies. It could just be love of self. It could be, sports. We could be engaged in every sport trying to make our name known, and as a result, we have no time to be engaged in the war before us. It could be Facebook. We spend all our time flipping through Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. This person responded. I think Instagram is a new little thingy these days. It can be any of this thing. It may even be an insanity workout. I went on a workout the other day, and I'm still sore. So I have to harass Eric, who took me on that. But my friends, listen. It could be anything. It could be anything that's weighing us down. You see, a soldier is focused. The things that are not necessarily wrong or bad in and of themselves, but they become bad because they slow us down. They get us unfocused in the things in which we should be engaged in. So I want to ask you, as you prepare to leave D3 and engage, what is hindering you? What is entangling you from the service of the King? What is it? I can't answer that. That's for you to answer. But what is it that's slowing you down? That's tripping you up? What is it? Second thing we need to get rid of, according to our passages, we need to get rid of every sin that, what? Entangles us. Every sin that entangles us. This is any sin. Any sin that causes us to miss the mark. Any sin that causes us to get entangled. And listen, it says any sin that easily entangles. I want to tell you something, friends. Sin easily, what? Entangles. Oh, friends, sometimes I wonder if the Christian world realizes that we easily get entangled with sin. We want to hide our sin. We don't want to share it because we're afraid everybody else will know. But listen, everybody is wrestling with getting entangled with sin. We need to share it. We need to become open. But listen, if you're going to do and be victorious in this race and run it the way you want, you cannot let sin entangle you. You need to put it off. You need to be like Moses and run from it. Let me ask you here. Now is when we're trying to put it all off so we can leave this camp and go after it. What sin is entangling you? For some of you, you know that internet and looking at pornographic things on it have entangled you. For some of you, it could be that you've become far too intimate in that relationship with the girl. For some of you, it could be that you've become so self-consumed, so in love with yourself, that you don't ever think of anyone. All you care about is what you're going to do to look good for others. I don't know what the sin might be. Maybe it's even that you're cheating at school. Maybe it's you're hanging out with the wrong friends. I don't know. Ones that are ungodly. Maybe you're partying. Maybe you're drinking. I have no idea. But what I want to say is what the writer says. Lay it what? Aside. Friends, lay it what? Aside. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. There's a second encouragement, and I want to take you to it. Look with me. It says, let us lay aside every encumbrance and every sin which easily entangles us, and let us what? Everybody, and let us what?
Run.
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 My friends, and let us run. Let us run. My friends, let us run. I want to tell you, fellow pilgrims, let us run. Let us go. Let us run this Christian race. Let us begin to disciple the friends in our schools. Let us begin to disciple the people in our youth groups. My friends, youth groups, get moving. Quit being so lethargic. Quit being so dead. Get moving. Anyone new that comes in your church, the youth group should be there, should be engaged with them, giving them a hug, welcome them in, whether they have tattoos from head to toe or whether they look like, look like some of these basketball players. But the reality is, get engaged. Love the community. Youth groups, rise up and run. You leaders, rise up and begin to ask people in your youth group, are you reading your Bible? Are you reading your Bible? And grab a group around you to run and be a light on your campus. Disciple others. Reach unbelievers. Be a light on that campus. Exhort friends to love Christ. Be, listen, an example to your siblings. Listen, your biggest ministry are to your younger brothers and sisters. Start at home. Be that example. Get alongside your brothers and sisters and say, come on, let's live for Christ. Let's obey mom. Listen, let us run. Let us run. Let us be like Mary, who's consumed with Christ to the point where she comes and lays her most costly possessions at Christ's feet, and they cost her nothing because she loved Christ. Let's run. Let's go. Let's get him. Let's run. Amen.
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 And my friends, your youth leader is ready to take you. There's preparation work that needs to be done. And my friends, he tells us not only to run, but he tells us how to run. He first says, run with what?
Endurance.
This word endurance is a fascinating word. It means long-suffering or perseverance. Run, my friends, with long-suffering. Run with perseverance. But what he's saying is this, run until it hurts, and then when it hurts, continue to run. Run through the struggle. Run through the pain. Run through the discomfort. Run through the exhaustion. Persevere through the pain. Exert your greatest efforts all the way through the finish line. Listen, after a while, the pain becomes normal. And you just run with it. You know it's there, but you just keep running, and you keep running, waiting for God to relieve you in his time. But in the midst, the world is watching. The world is being impacted. The church is being strengthened because you're running, and you're setting an example for others. But my friends, when you run, don't just sprint and then be done, but run with endurance. It is a marathon that ends in the celestial city. I love that you grow weary, but then one day we'll fly away, the song said. Not only are we to run with endurance, we're to run, listen, and hear me very clearly. Listen, he says, run fixing your eyes where? Run fixing your eyes where? Run, don't be looking at the stands. Don't be looking at all the people. My friend, look at Christ. Look at the one who's gone before you, the author and finisher of the faith. Look at him. Keep your eyes on him fixed. As a runner runs, he's not looking anywhere, but he's running, fixing his eyes on Jesus. It's a song that I love and has become so dear. It says this, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. My friends, listen. The battle's hard, but keep your eyes on Jesus. And my friends, this is a message to me as much as it is to you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus went before us
Jesus endured the cross. He despised the shame, the passage says. And he's laid up at the right hand of God. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Listen, Jesus went before us. He too went through the pain. He too went through all of the misery, but he did it while he looked for the joy set before what? Him. And that's why verse 3 says these words, "For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not what? Grow weary and lose heart." My friends, the writer of Hebrews has given us a word this morning. Run. But before you run, you must first what? Lay aside. So I call you, my fellow pilgrims, lay aside every encumbrance, lay aside every sin, and then let's run. Run with endurance and run with our eyes fixed on Jesus. And this isn't something you do once. This is something you're doing continuously. So at home, as you're engaged in the battle, put this passage up and refresh yourself daily to this end. Let's pray. Father, we come as pilgrims in this journey, committing ourselves to you, committing ourselves to run, and asking that you aid us to that end. Father, I just pray you would help my fellow pilgrims to run. Father, I pray that you would help them see their hearts and where they are encumbered and where sin is entangling them, and that you would release them from such things. For your name's sake and for the glory of our King, we pray. Amen.